Good morning to all of you.
Good morning.
Now I'm going to say that a little differently. Good morning to all of you disciples of the Lord. Well, you guys are great today. Wow. You know, when I was a young boy at home living with my parents, we for many years until I was in high school, we would go camping for a two-week period. And one of the special places we went to was a place called Trout Lake, and it's up near Boulder Junction, Wisconsin, not far from Anakwa. Some of you probably know the area well. But we would go up there for 2 weeks, and that's when we camped in tents, and we just had a great time as a family. But we always would take 1 or 2 days of that two-week period and go on what we would call field trips or special places around the area. And on several occasions during those years, one of the things that I always liked to do, and my parents always got me there, is I like to go to these ranger stations. These are these places where they have these towers, and you would climb up them, and on top of the tower, there would be a ranger man up there, and he was looking for forest fires, okay? So one particular year when we drove up there, my parents found this high peak, and sure enough, there was a ranger station up there. And I looked up at this tower, and boy, this was a tall one, but at the bottom, there was a sign, "Everyone welcome, but you must climb at your own risk." So I thought, well, okay. So I started to climb up the stairway, a typical stairway, outside, of course, everything's exposed. But I didn't know this until I got to a certain level that it changed from a typical stairway to a ladder straight up. And that was probably about 20 feet. And it was a windy day. And I got to that point, and I looked up, and I barely looked up, and all of a sudden there was like this hatch door that opened up from the bottom of this whole little building up there where the ranger man was. And he poked his head down there, and he says, "Are you okay, son?" And I looked at him, and I said, "Well, I'm a little shaky and nervous." He says, "Well, come on up." So I climbed up this ladder, and I'll never forget that. As I got up to that top of that little ranger hut up there, he grabbed my hand, and he pulled me up, and he says, "Wow." He says, "I don't get too many young guys like you up here." But he closed the door, but what really struck me, even though I'm shaking up there right now, what really struck me was the beauty of what I was about to see. When you're that high and you're looking over the tops of all the trees and the forest that you surround and a full 360-degree circle, it was just fabulous. But what really hit me probably the most was that's all I saw was the top of the trees. You really couldn't observe what was really in the forest. Even though it was gorgeous and magnificent, that's all I saw. And that really hit me because I knew there was more to the trees, more to the forest than just this top layer. But from that height up and looking from all around that panoramic view, that's all it was. And of course he gave me his binoculars to look through, and that was great too. And then it was time to leave, and I climbed down, and I never forgot that moment because I thought, you know, that was a lesson for me to a certain extent, but I didn't understand it really totally in life. But I think what we have going on here today in our readings today, and especially in our gospel, I think there's a little bit of that lesson as far as observing. What are we observing? But more importantly, what is God observing in us? And this is a continuous thing. This never stops. God is always looking and observing not only at us as a person on the outside, but more importantly, he's looking at us on the inside. He's looking at our hearts. He's trying to find out what our attitude is. That's more important than probably anything else that God's looking at us every day, because he's often told us that it's what's in your heart that counts. When you have faith in your heart, you can accomplish anything. So Jesus today talks about this. So I want to get back into this gospel today because I think there's a real lesson here today for all of us. And I'd like to get your thoughts on this as well. So let's keep in mind that Jesus is in the temple area. And I got to give you a few thoughts on that here too, because as we hear in the beginning, one of these portions in the gospel, we hear where he sat down opposite the treasury. Okay, well, in that temple years ago, there were different courts. There were courts of the Gentiles. There was a court of, you know, of the women, and other courts as well. Well, this particular courtyard that we're hearing about in the temple area today is the courtyard of the women. Okay, this is an area that's about 200 feet by 200 feet, and on three sides of this courtyard, opposite where these kind of stairways come down into it, if you want to call it that, there is kind of like a valance of stone and brick and columns that come down that probably protrudes out maybe 10 or 12 feet, and underneath this whole valance area around this courtyard are receptacles. There's 13 of them, in fact. If we go back to the study of the temple, there's 13 of these receptacles in the courtyard of the women. And this is where Jesus is. And of course, you also have to keep in mind, if you look at it from a liturgical year for us, this is Holy Week. Okay, this is the Passover time. We're getting the very end of Jesus' life. In fact, scripturally speaking, there are theologians that would tell you this, that this was probably one of the last public teachings that Jesus had when he was in the temple that particular week, because just a couple days later, they were going to crucify him. So that gives you a little bit of a sense where we are in this gospel today when he starts to sit down and observe the crowd putting money into the treasury. And he's watching all these people, and this is a busy time at that time for the Passover. There are people everywhere, but Jesus is just sitting there watching all this, and he happens to notice a poor widow. And this poor widow came, and she put two small coins into one of these receptacles. Now, we don't know which receptacle it is, and most of them were all detailed in some respects. They had a little description as to where those monies were going to go, so we really don't know which one she put it in, and that's not important. The fact of the matter is, what Jesus observed in her was the fact that she was doing this out of love. She was doing this with a clean heart. She was giving everything she had. She was giving away her livelihood. She was putting her total trust in God, that when she gave her last 2 cents away, that the God was going to provide for her beyond that. But that's what that poor widow did. And after Jesus noticed this and saw this, that's when he did something rather unique here. Because if we go back to the scripture here, after he saw that, he starts calling out to his disciples. He starts calling out to Matthew and Andrew and Peter and all the rest of them. He says, come to me. I want to show you guys. I want to tell you guys something. And then he says to them, he says, amen, amen, I say to you, this poor widow put more in all the other contributors to combined into the treasury. She gave everything she had. The others gave from their surplus, but she had enough trust and faith. No matter what she had, she was going to give it to God. God has got that ability to observe in each one of us, no matter what we're doing in life, no matter what our circumstances are, what we're doing, and our attitude and how we do it. And we need to remember that, because that's how God measures us. And the more we can have a positive, faithful attitude, an attitude where we're not afraid, God will bless us with more. Because he trusts us, and he knows we are maturing in our faith journey in life. This last week I had a chance to go out to Baltimore, and I went to a conference out there that was actually held at a parish. And last year I also had a chance to go to that same conference out there, and I was so grateful I had the opportunity to go this year, but I learned so much from this parish out there this particular year in comparison to last year. Last year they had dreams, and they talked about it, of building a new church, because they're a growing church. They have about 500 seating capacity in their church right now, and they've had a lot of activities like we do here at Cabrini, and a lot of mission programs, and just a tremendous outreach program, and it goes on and on and on. But they knew they needed a new church. So they just finished, before we got out there for this conference this last week, they had just finished their capital campaign. And of course, it's all based on stewardship, it's all based on faith, it's all based on trust, it's all based on giving from our hearts. And the norm, if I may put it in these terms, the norm for a capital campaign in any church, and we did it here several years ago when we put on our expansion program here for our narthex and school, etc., is when you have a capital campaign, you generally raise about 1.2 to 1.8 your annual stewardship giving. So, simple mathematics, let's say you had a $1 million budget in the church, and let's say you averaged out somewhere in there, you would raise about $1.5 million towards your capital campaign that you would receive over a three-year period. Okay? Well, they went on to tell us in one of their little short meetings that they have these little reach-out meetings where we all gather. There's about 75 of us in this meeting. Most of them are priests. And they were talking about robbing God. That was the entitlement of this particular breakout, and it all had to do with stewardship and giving. And, of course, the whole sense of it is that we're not called to rob God. We're called to give to God. Okay? So during that particular session, they shared with us their story on their capital campaign. And they said to us, you know what? We're probably going to be building a new church next year because we just had our campaign here at our parish. And he said, we didn't raise the 1.5 average. We raised 4.0. That's four times the amount of their annual stewardship appeal. Now, their budget's over $3 million a year, so mathematically, that tells you they raised well over $12 million. They're building a new church. And one of the priests raised his hand after he heard this, and he said, how did you do this? This is off the charts. And one of the fellows who was conducting the meeting, he said, well, the best way we can see it is people are giving their hearts to the Lord. He says, that's the only way. He says, people realize to put their faith and trust in God. They see the importance of their discipleship. They see the importance of giving. And they know that when they give, they receive. And right now they're receiving the goodness of the Lord and they're feeling God's love in all their ministry programs that they have at their church. And you know, and it was such a delight to see that. You know, we've got so many beautiful and wonderful programs that are taking place here at Cabrini too. And yes, it takes time, it takes talent, and it takes treasure. It takes money to operate all these. And you know what? The more we pour out in all those aspects to our Lord and the more we give of ourselves, the more the Lord will bless us. So when I talked about this morning, good morning to all your disciples, that's what they called us. We're all disciples of the Lord. We're all called to have that faith and trust. And you know, if you go back to that reading, that first reading today from Kings, I mean, here we have another story of a widow who, in a sense, was given that same test. I mean, she was going out to the fields to pick up sticks and so forth because she had just a little bit of flour left and a little bit of oil that she needed to feed herself and her son. And Elijah comes into her life and he starts to ask her to bring her things. And she so graciously does it, but at the same time she's telling Elijah, she says, you know what? When this is all gone, my son and I are going to die. Elijah says to her, do not be afraid. Go and do your purpose, he says. He says, and he goes on to tell her, the jar of flour shall not go empty, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day of the Lord comes and sends rain upon your lands, because they were in a drought. A year later, the rains came, and all the time during that year, that jar of flour never went dry, and that jug of oil never dried up. She had faith. She trusted. And when we put our faith and trust in the Lord, anything is possible. We also come today to remind ourselves that God is observing us each and every day of our lives. He's observing us in the way we pray, the way we talk, the way we ignore the situations that sometimes we should probably pause and stop what we're doing and help that person in need. Or maybe give that person a phone call that just maybe had a loss of a loved one or a situation happening in our family. God is watching out over us over all these things every day. My prayer for all of us today is that as we continue on in our journey of faith and our own discipleship, that we too will be reminded that God is observing us, and we too are to become as observant to the needs of others and give from our heart with a clean heart, knowing that God will bless us each and every day of our lives. In other words, he tells us all, do not be afraid.